Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
Have patience, baby, please. I promise I have something done for you, baby. I swear. KJ and Lyons, WEEI. Thanks for being here. 617-779-7937. That's Craig Breslow a couple of days ago saying, look, baby, it's going to happen real, real soon. Just be patient. It's going to come. Do you feel like this is a little bit of the moonwalking now that Corbin Burns is off the plate? Like, the big spend still hasn't happened.
Yeah, and we talked about this earlier in the offseason with all the great players available, whether it was Juan Soto, Max Fried, Burns, Bregman, Flaherty, all these potential, and obviously there's different levels to those guys, but all these great guys available, if you're willing to spend, the talent was there and worth spending on. And getting Garrett Crochet, I think, was a great move, and that was a big boy move where they took real prospects that they valued and traded them away for a potential ace and great pitcher. However, if you look at dollars spent this year, I mean, we're talking, what, $10 million to Chapman, $20 million to Bueller, Sandoval got, what, it was $18 million in his contract. So we're looking at about $50-ish million, which is a really far cry from them being in the Soto sweepstakes at 700. That's a really far cry from spending big in general.
Yeah, I don't know if the fan base is going to go along with just the nickel and diming that's been the continuing. You know, some people kind of like the Boston Red Sox rehab organization, because it's like all the sentences are tied to the guys. If he can get back to the stuff that he had in fill in the 2000 blank, or if he can show the season that he had last year after coming off of fill-in-the-blank surgery. Like, when do the fans hear about a fully healthy, vested, multi-year guy that's going to come and help be probably really the cornerstone of the franchise? Because the conversation about Soto was he would come here and he would be the perceptive leader of the team, because Devers is not the vocal guy. So you Teoscar Hernandez looks like he's going back to the Dodgers. So that feels like that's like a, okay, so what do you do now if you're in the middle of that? I've always said, like, hey, look, maybe you look at an Anthony Santander, because he addresses both sides of the plate. He's a switch hitter. So, like, if you're concerned about a right-handed bat but at the cost of a left-handed bat, then comes the Yoshida contract. I just think there are things in place that they can't say out loud that prevent them from going full throttle, if you will.
I think all that's preventing them really is their unwillingness in that sense. Because I look at what Corbin Burns got in Arizona, and I know part of it is his wife had twins recently. They kind of wanted to be in Arizona. I get that. But the Red Sox could have substantially beaten the offer he got from the Diamondbacks. And if he still chose to turn it down,
that would have changed his wife wanting to be in Arizona, though.
No, but if he had still turned it down, then fine. That's one thing. But do you really think they even substantially beat the offer? Because I don't. And we saw when Max Fried got signed, reports were they were, what, $30-ish million below what the Yankees signed Max Fried? I mean, they were $100 million off on Soto. To my knowledge, they have not offered a big deal to Bregman or Jack Flaherty either so far. So to me, the biggest thing stopping them from spending thus far is their unwillingness to actually spend big money on a free agent.
So I guess let's get to the Bregman portion of it, because that's now the hot stove talk here locally, right?
It's the only burner left on the stove.
I think really the other thing is there's a fire going on, and it's that you got a guy who's getting $19 million a year to DH and is not really DHing not play a lick of outfield.
I get what you're saying, but aren't they still, is it $25 or $30 million below the luxury tax? Like, that shouldn't be.
Yeah, but if you can get rid of that, now you're at $45, and maybe you can have a better conversation with better players. I think that's the other part of it.
It's another round of excuses, though. I believe you, and that's right, how they're thinking, but to me, that's just them making excuses for not wanting to spend more money.
Well, I think the other part of that, though, is this organization ever shown you that after the big spends that got you the championships and even into 18, where they went out and spent money, do you believe that that's something we've done, we're not in the business of doing it anymore?
It feels that way, yeah. That, and I'm not saying they're spending total peanuts. I mean, they still had a $200 million payroll multiple times under Heim Bloom, but it just feels like, again, if they wanted to substantially beat that Burns offer or they wanted to beat the Yankees offer for free, they have the money to do it. They made choices. Not even Jack Flaherty, like, he could be a Boston Red Sox right now. I think Alex Bregman maybe could be as well. It just seems like there's, again, the prospect trade for Crochet, I thought was a great thing, and it was a departure because for years, right, under Heim, they hoarded prospects and wouldn't move them. So that was something different. But the
spending, but it fits their money spending
right, exactly. Crochet's affordable. So it still fits their parameters on not spending as much as they used to.
Even the Buehler deal, 1 year, pretty much the Pivetta money. And then, so that's the thing. Like, when are you going to hear years, you know, signed for plural, right, for decent amount of money? And I think this is a team that's at the point of, hey, and this is where analytics, I think, really has kind of hurt the game. You remember when we had Lou Maloney on when we were doing nights a couple weeks ago? He said, I don't care what it costs. Everybody overspends at this time. But the analytics department will be the first one to run out with a sheet and say, oh, no, there's no way Corbin Burns is worth $30 million a year, and here are the numbers to show these different things. This is why I talk about getting into the dirt in the weeds of baseball. Like, are you concerned about a spreadsheet about Corbin Burns? Or are you concerned about Corbin Burns being able to get out there and give you 6-7 innings in a key series that can determine your fate for the playoffs? Like, that's something you can't just put on a sheet of paper.
No one's going to care in July what you're paying him when he has a 2.95 ERA.
Right.
Like, no, and I think, like, to the quote we just played from Breslow about wanting to, you know, up things this year and Red Sox fans have been waiting – if you want to contend and go deep in the playoffs this year, first of all, the AL is open enough that you can do that, but Bregman would be a guy that I think would help you do that. For A, he's a good player, but B, you don't have a lot of guys on your roster, and especially in your lineup, that have gone deep in the playoffs before. Really, in your lineup, I think it's just Devers. He's the only guy that's gone deep in the playoffs before, where Bregman has won multiple World Series. He's been to a bunch of the ALCSs with the Astros, so I mean, that in itself has value, much like Walker Buehler does for the pitching staff,
but
a guy that's won multiple World Series.
But watch this. Here comes the analytics department running out with a piece of paper. For 6 years, would you give that to Alex Bregman? Six?
Yeah.
Because what their numbers are probably telling you are injuries are going to factor in. As the body gets older, it breaks down. And do you want to be paying him $32 million in the last years of his days? And you're like, okay, now he's the DH and you've got Devers? Well, are they both going to now be platooning DHs? So that's the part I have an issue with the Red Sox right now. Is I understand slowing down with the bats, but at least be bold with the arms. If Sale scared you off, then you should probably go back and look in that same mirror and say, you know, that Chris Sale that scared you off just won the Cy Young this year. So go get guys that you're going to give multiple years to, because if you've got, because like you said, not giving up the prospects, what they've done for years, but none of those prospects have been pitchers. Like, the Red Sox have no pitching prospects.
I mean, so, it's Houck and Bayo are the only
they've had here.
Last, like, 12 years.
Right, they're here. So everything that's coming up the pipeline are field players. So you have time to say, okay, I would rather see you do the 1-2 year or the 1 year with an option with an outfielder. A 1 year or an option with maybe an infielder, because you know you have these other guys who are going to be coming up. Like this, I think probably the big move that happened last year was when you just had that mass call up from Portland to Worcester for the guys. And they're like, this is
now,
put up or shut up time.
Gone for Crochet.
Right.
So, like, again, you were willing to do that. It just feels like that spending piece is just still, it's not there.
And different with football, right? Where you say, hey, through the draft, you draft a player, that player really has maybe 3 years to show if they're a quality player for your team in the league. You have to make a decision. Where with baseball, once you draft a player, look, Mayo may be a year behind. It may feel a little bit that way because you figured he wouldn't have struggled as much at the plate as he did longer in Portland probably than he needed to be. But now we're just going to get ready to see what he can do at AAA, and then you'll have to make that decision. Does that decision affect Trevor Story? But how do you move Trevor Story? If you bring in a Bregman, then where does Mayo go? Where does Mayer go? So that's the other part of it is, if you go ahead and just take care of the pitching and know that, you know, you've got few players coming in, I wouldn't have a problem with some rent-to-owns and maybe a couple of key players at that. Look, Abreu flashed for you immediately. You've got Durant out there. So you have all these different pieces in the field. You just don't have pitching coming through the farm system. And this is what I thought. I thought Breslow would be that guy to make those moves. So Crochet is kind of that move, right? Breslow was with the Cubs previous couple of years, so he was able to see what Crochet was by being in Chicago, having a little more familiarity with the pitcher and the news and the clippings and so forth and everything like that. So this is what I thought he would do versus what Heim would have done, which is just find a bunch of guys who are really relievers, you know, trying to rehab themselves.
Yeah, and again, I think the Crochet deal, that's a departure, and that was a welcome change. And if you look at their rotation, Crochet, Hauk, Bayo, Buehler, that's pretty good.
It's better than it's been since the days of Sale going in and out of the DL.
Yeah, so like
maybe since when Eovaldi was here.
I think you have a pretty good rotation right now. The issue is, if you had added Corbin Burnes to the top of that, you'd have the best rotation in the American League and a top three or four rotation in all of the majors. Like, to me, that's the problem, especially with how open the AL is and how down the Red Sox have been for five out of the last 6 years, right? They made the playoffs once since 2018. Like, they're in a position where they have good young players, they have money to spend, they've used some of the young players to bring in talent, they just still have not used the money, and it feels like Bregman and Flaherty are the last two possible guys that they could use that money on. If they don't sign one of them, we're going to be having the same or very similar conversation we had this time last year.
I would say probably throw Anthony Santander in that mix as well, because if you're in the conversation for Teoscar Hernandez, then it means you're considering who's going to be your left fielder coming in next year. And again, like I said, with the Yoshida deal, you thought you were going to get much more. The one thing I said, remember, I don't know if we were together or right before you got here, I said, you know, Yoshida's going to be better served in the MLB being a doubles opposite field hitter than trying to be a home run hitter like he was in Japan, considering all the stadiums are the same in Japan with pretty much the same dimensions, right? Like, the nuances of the Major League Baseball stadiums were not going to necessarily help him. Just the constant 4-3 groundouts has just been frustrating, but they gave him a lot of money. So it's, you know, we talk about how the Red Sox haven't spent, but what you have on your books is a bad spend with Yoshida. Look,
yeah,
sometimes he shows his flashes, but you can't be talking about like showing flashes at 19
and
mil.
And the concerning thing with Yoshida is 2 years ago in 2023, I mean, he was one of the better hitters in their lineup. And then last year, there was just, like, you look at the final numbers, like, he hit 280, he had 56 RBIs. Like, those final numbers aren't bad, but if you watch them day in and day out, you
right.
and I saw how
it's reduced at bats.
Yeah, how maddeningly inconsistent he could be, and how there were certain matchups that Cora couldn't trust him, and how they couldn't put him out in the field by midway through last year. Like, that's the frustrating part, because 2 years ago, you saw this guy that could be a pretty good MLB player, and last year, it was just all over the place. So now they're at a spot where, do they try to run it back with him and see if they can get what they got 2 years ago? Or is it just, hey, this is a guy that just maybe is not going to be a consistent, really good MLB player?
Hey, Pittsburgh, we'll give you Yoshida for Skeens.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
Someone gets fired and thrown into the Three Rivers. KJ Lyons, WEEI. 617-779-7937. We'll look at the slate of games coming up here in the NFL today, which, of course, you can hear on WEEI. But right now, it's time to trend with David Azer.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, one last time, let's get you caught up on what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Patriots' losing streak continues after losing to the Chargers 40-7 yesterday afternoon. Drake May was able to return to the game after suffering a head injury on the team's opening drive. May threw for 117 yards and one touchdown in the loss. Star cornerback Christian Gonzalez left the game with a head injury and did not return. The Patriots' final game of the season is next Sunday at 1 o'clock versus the Buffalo Bills. The Bruins salvaged the second game in their back-to-back with the Columbus Blue Jackets, earning the victory 4-0 after a tough outing on Friday night. Jeremy Swayman had 19 saves in the shutout. Rookie forward Fabian Lysell was recalled from Providence and made his NHL debut with the Bruins last night. The Celtics are getting set to face the Pacers once again after blowing them out on Friday night. Tip-off for tonight's game from TD Garden is scheduled for 6 p.m., and Drew Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis are both listed as questionable for this game. Stay tuned later in the day for Sports USA's coverage of the NFL right here on WEEI. Coverage begins at 1 o'clock with the Panthers and Buccaneers squaring off in an NFC South matchup. I'm David Azer. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Final hour of KJ and Lyons continues after this.
This is KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937. That is also the text line. We take you up to NFL Sunday here on WEEI. Hopefully you're having a great holiday season. John, Colorado got smoked yesterday by BYU.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I watched part of it.
You know, I am kind of protesting a little bit some of these college bowl games. Maybe I've just read this wrong, but I think Snoop Dogg has his own bowl game, the Arizona Bowl.
Snoop Dogg Bowl. Yeah,
the Snoop Dogg Bowl.
Whatever it's called, yeah.
Which now tells me, A, clearly if you're not in the college football playoff and you're not one of the major teams in one of these bowl games, anybody can have a bowl game. And B, when do we get the KJ and Lions? Maybe we have the Jag Bowl.
Ooh, yeah, like just get two 6-6 teams?
No, make an exception. Two losing teams that should be better than what they were.
Oh yeah, actually yeah. So let's say we get two teams that are like
unbowl eligible,
like 5-6,
7.
So like if one of them wins, they go to 6-6
and become a Jag.
Yeah.
Right. Look,
you know what
I
was disappointed
now.
About what? Too? Like what? One of my favorite bowls each year is the Holiday Bowl in San Diego because they've been playing it at Petco Park, and I've been to Petco Park once for a baseball game. It's an amazing venue, and I just thought it looked so cool last year at Petco Park, and. Then I tuned in Friday night because I'm like, oh, Holiday Bowl, Petco Park. All right, I'm going to check it out. And it was at San Diego State. They didn't even do it at Petco Park this year. I was so disappointed.
Where did he do it? At Qualcomm? The old Qualcomm? Did
they take it down? Forget the name. I looked it up. It was like the San Diego State football team's own stadium.
I was going to say San Diego High School, Central High School. Like,
yeah.
Because, I mean, what was it?
The Fenway Bowl was cool, though. But.
Yeah, so like the Fenway Bowl, the Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium, those add a level of flair that just make it interesting that you get to see you get to see a football game inside of a historic baseball stadium.
Yeah.
Granted, it's a new Yankee Stadium.
I was disappointed with the Holiday Bowl, but the Fenway Bowl and the Pinstripe Bowl, those, even though BC came up short yesterday, those are cool venues.
The Myrtle Beach Bowl, which is where Coastal Carolina plays, it's like it's literally in the middle of a neighborhood.
Bowl is the Pop-Tarts Bowl, though.
Was pretty interesting yesterday.
That's fun. Like that's what they should do. Like, yeah, it's not a college football playoff game, so just have fun with it, and they do.
But you just seem that there should be better teams in these games. Like, did you really want to see Miami and Iowa State?
So I'll say that matchup I was okay with, like, because Miami did just miss the college football playoff, but. Yeah, like even BYU Colorado, like those are
that's good a conference
teams,
game. That's a conference game.
Yeah, I'm like, is that really worthy of the Alamo Bowl like that? Because the Alamo Bowl, it's not a huge bowl, but it's one of the bigger bowls. I'm like, eh.
You know what? Colorado should have been in the Texas Bowl, and the Texas Bowl should have been them versus Texas A&M, right? Like December 31st, you're going to have the afternoon slot. Those are where the eyes are going to be. But to play Colorado and BYU in a replay game, well, not a replay game, but a game that you'll be able to see next year, defeats the whole purpose of having bowl games. Like, why would you have a bowl game that is a conference matchup? Like, that makes no sense.
Yeah. No, and then you look at, like, December 31st, like, Alabama, Michigan, like, that should be a good matchup. And, like, South Carolina, Illinois, though, I'm like, I don't know. Like, South Carolina could have been a college football playoff.
Alabama, Michigan, which bowl is that? You probably don't know.
Is that the Relia Quest Bowl or something at noon? It's at noon on December 31st.
Okay, so that game should probably have been Alabama, Miami, right?
Yeah, like, that's just fair. Miami's better than Michigan this year.
Right.
Yeah.
You're putting Michigan in there because they beat Ohio State. That's really good. Most of us in the sports world know that was just a one-week thing for the Michigan program. That wasn't a season-long thing. But Alabama-Miami would have been a game that you say, these are two teams that are Miami and SMU. I'm not SMU, but Miami and Ole Miss. Like, these are the teams that should be matched up in these bowls. Maybe the CFP looks at that and say, hey, these are the first four out, and they will be featured in this particular bowl. So that way you can still get a high-quality matchup of two teams that should have been or could have argued to have been in the college football playoff, that are going to be featured in a highlighted game, right?
Like, I thought, like, USC-Texas A&M was a really good matchup, or, like, Vanderbilt-Georgia Tech, like, even UConn-North Carolina at Fenway. Like, those are really good matchups, but then, yeah, some of the other ones, not so hot.
Once you start getting into the higher-profile ones, once you start getting into, really, today on, after today, I don't think there are any college games today, but once you start getting into Monday and Tuesday.
Tomorrow, 2:30, Iowa-Missouri, the Music City Bowl, that should be all right.
I was no offensive ass team. Yeah. Like,
no, I think it'll at least be interesting.
Bro, that's like taking me to a strip club and telling me how good the drinks are here. Like, that's the best thing that's
maybe
available in here.
Good. I mean, the wings, like, are good too.
That's the best thing you can tell me about this place. That's a problem.
Maybe they're really
I'm getting
good
into
wings.
One of my Atlanta stories, but I'm like, really? That's I won't get into it because that's descriptive. And we can get into trouble when we say things that are descriptive, describing things that are going on with the body. All right, NFL slated games today. I think the more exciting games happen later. We'll just go through them. I'll give you the lines as well. Jets, Bills. Bills are favored by 10. Do you feel like the Jets are like, you know, look, let's just continue to lay this thing down, get ourselves this? Because at four wins, they're right behind those group of teams with 3 wins that you kind of want to stay in pace with those in losses so that way you're not
going to need a quarterback too. And you said it earlier, this is not necessarily going to be a deep quarterback draft. They need a quarterback. Even if Rodgers comes back next year,
they don't want him.
What's it? Yeah. And even if he comes back, what's it? One more year. Like, they need a quarterback as much as anybody else.
Bills, you think they cover the entire 10-point spread? I think they do. Yeah. I think they throttle on them because if we are under the belief that the Bills rest their players next week, that they'll play their players this week and then be able to use next week as their bye week going into the wild card because the Chiefs have already sewn up the number one seed. Raiders Saints, if I gave you $1,000 to go watch this game, but you had to stay through the entire game, would you do it?
Yes. Oh, yes. If you gave me $1,000, A, I'd want the $1,000, but B, I can watch a bad football game, KJ. I can watch a bad football
game. What if I put a caveat that you can't get up at halftime to use the restroom or go get food? You have to stay in your seat.
I would still do it. I would be less happy, but I would still.
You know what? I think that's a bet that we should do. Like, whatever the future is of KJ Lines, I think this is something that we should take on. Like, let's choose a random game like Panthers-Saints. And you have to go to the game. How about this? You have to show up 2 hours. You have to show up when the doors open with the fans, and you have to be the last one to leave. Could you do it?
Yeah, I could do it. I could. I can watch
not
bad
using
football,
the restroom.
Yeah, I wouldn't love it. Yeah, I'd probably be cursing you the whole time. But
No. You can't curse me. You have to enjoy this. You have to cheer for one of the teams, Saints, Raiders. Look, Raiders, we mentioned they're in the same group that are playing for quarterback. The Saints, not so much. So the Raiders, like, I hate to use the term lie it down, but they are favored in this game to win. And you would ever say, why would they be favored in anything when everything they're looking for is trying to get themselves to Shador Sanders?
Yeah, that's another team, much like the Jets, that needs a quarterback of the future desperately in the Raiders. And you could make the argument the Saints do, too. I know they have Spencer Rattler, who they drafted last year, but I believed in him at the draft, but he's been inconsistent so far this
season. So is Derek Carr.
He's been hurt. Yeah, so, yeah.
This is fascinating. The Panthers-Bucks game has so much importance for the Bucks because the Bucs are chasing the Falcons right now because even though they have the same record, the Falcons beat them in both games with Kirk Cousins and therefore hold the double tiebreaker against them. So them against the Panthers who've been surging, look, don't let the 4-11 record fool you with the Panthers. They took the Chiefs to the final. They took the Chiefs to the final minutes. They went to overtime with Philadelphia. So they've played really good teams tough lately, and this is a division game. I think this is the 1 o'clock game that will be on WEEI. They have the Bucs favored by 10.
Yeah, I mean, and you alluded to it. In the last 7 weeks, the Panthers are 3-4, and that includes an overtime loss to Tampa Bay, 1 possession loss to KC, and 1 possession loss to Philadelphia. Like, they've won 3 games, and they've been competitive. It's a sneaky, tough game for Tampa, but also, on Tampa's end, they have to win that division to make the playoffs because the NFC North is so good.
Yep.
If you don't win the NFC South, you're out. You're not going to get a wild card from there. So them in Atlanta, it's not, hey, it's seeding. It's you need to win the division or you're out.
Okay, so next game, I'm going to put a caveat on paying you to go to this game. I'll give you $3,000 if you go to the Titans-Jags game, get there at the start of the game, be the last one to leave, and you wear Mac Jones' New England Patriots jersey.
So can I do it for $2,000 without the jersey?
$3,000, yeah. And no, you wear the Mac Jones?
You need to pay me.
Okay, so the Titans-Jags.
If this was a college football bowl game, it would be called the What's Going On Bowl, because I have no idea what's going on with either of these franchises.
Well, they're scheduled to be played against each other because they're in the same division. But you would take the $1,000. Now, I understand it. Going to New Orleans, you could have fun. You could sit there. You could watch it. You feel like you see a semblance of something. But you would not take $3,000, wear Mac Jones' Patriots jersey, be the first one there in Duval County at the what is it called? The Trevor Lawrence Field or Law something Field?
I couldn't even tell you.
Right. So 3-12 teams, you wouldn't even take the $3,000 wearing the Mac Jones jersey.
No, you'd have to pay me more than that to wear the jersey.
How much? $5,000?
Probably 10.
That's no way. There's no way.
$1,000 for each number on the jersey, right? Number 10. Give me 10 grand.
Colts Giants. Oh, gosh. What a thing. This is. You know
Patriots
what?
Patriots fans might want to pay attention to this, because if Brian Daboll loses his job with the Giants, he would be a legit guy to add to the Patriots coaching staff, whether as OC, consultant, whatever you want to call it. So Patriots fans might want to have an eye on that game.
Well, just the same way that I go to a bat for Mayo being a first-year head coach, I go to bat for Daboll to get another shot next year being able to pick the quarterback that he wants. If it's right, like you go draft the quarterback and nurture and develop him, right? It was upper management that decided Saquon Barkley goes, Daniel Jones stays, Brian Daboll, just all he could do is just go, like he's Scooby doing it.
I kind of feel bad for him, to be completely honest.
So different than Joe Judge, who had no control of that team, I believe, just the same way that I think players are going in for Mayo, they are going in for Daboll. You hear some of the guys really, like especially Malik Nabers, talking about like, look, we don't like winning. I mean, we don't like losing, but we do like the structure that is in place. I think it's just the case of the Giants having to go get that other quarterback. And then it probably buys Daboll probably 2 more years, deservedly so, with this new quarterback. So he probably has another 35 games to go before I think they really make a fair decision on him. See, folks, everybody thought I was just about race with Mayo. I could say the same thing about Daboll. All right, Cowboys-Eagles. I think this is going to be a better game than what the Cowboys record shows. And while I think the Eagles win, do you think the Cowboys can cover the 7.5 in this game, make it at least a touchdown-worthy game?
I actually think they can. I mean, they've been really competitive over the past month. And look, I was someone that last year, I said they should have replaced Mike McCarthy with Bill Belichick. I still think they should have done that. But you look at the way this team has played the last few weeks, they've played much, much better since about Thanksgiving time. I mean, they've obviously, look, they beat Washington, which was a really good win. They beat Tampa Bay last week, which is a really good win. Close loss to a surging Bengals team, which also had a great game last night. So, yeah, I think the Cowboys do keep this one really close.
It'd be tough, man. They shut CeeDee Lamb down for the rest of the year. So that means one of two things will happen. Nothing will happen, and not only will the Eagles cover the 7.5, they'll throttle them and start to rest guys. Or some of these other Cowboys receivers will step up, because a lot of these guys still have to show and prove in terms of moving forward with this team, because Jerry Jones clearly is not going to get rid of CeeDee Lamb or Dak Prescott. But he's got to figure out which one of these guys are replaceable. All right, Dolphins, Browns. All right, let's see. How much money would I offer you to go
this
to this game?
Nobody cares, Bowl.
Right. This would be maybe like a $2,500 game, and you would have to go there wearing a Tua jersey in Cleveland? In the elements?
I would go to Cleveland. I don't want to wear the Tua jersey.
Well, but it's $2,500.
No, you got to pay me more than that.
Okay, Packers-Vikings. This is the showdown game.
You can pay
4 o'clock
me to go to that one.
I didn't say anything
I'll
about
happily,
giving you
yes,
any
I'll
money to go to this
to
one. Packers-Vikings. Vikings win. Next week's showdown against the Lions, perceiving that the Lions win against the 49ers. The winner of that game wins the NFC North. That's an absolute mind-boggling thought right
and
there.
Potentially the number one seed
with a bye. So a bye is still at play in the NFC. Packers-Vikings, the game's indoor. It's only a 1-point, so really just call it a pick 'em. Vikings favored by 1. How do you see? I like the Vikings in this game just because, and this is crazy to think, Jordan Love is more likely to make a key throwing mistake later in the game than Sam Darnold has done this year. It's the like Sam Darnold is now the guy that will win the game for you. But if you said this is the game last year, I'd be like, Sam Darnold, where do you want the mistakes? We can have different placeholders to have that happen.
Yeah, and you look at this Green Bay team. They lost, I think it was a two-point game to Minnesota back in week four. They just lost to Detroit a few weeks ago by three. I look at that Minnesota defense might force the one key turnover, but Green Bay's been playing terrific football as of late. So I don't know. I mean, there's even, I think, an outside shot that if Green Bay wins this game, wins next week, Minnesota loses, like, they could even maybe win the division or get a higher wild card seat. So there's so much at play here with this division. I just think I have more faith in that Minnesota defense to make the one key play.
Yeah, you mentioned the Packers. They're 11-4 now. Really, in their rearview mirror would be the Commanders at 10-5. They play the Falcons tonight on NBC. Falcons, again, like I mentioned, they win out. They win their division and are in the playoffs. The Commanders, they are now playing for that seeding you're talking about, right? Because let's say the Packers do lose to the Vikings, they would go to 11-5. The Commanders would then have to say, all right, if we win, we're at 11-5. And then you start looking at divisional record, and I think the Commanders would probably have the advantage based on having more NFC division wins because, look, the Packers are losing. Their only losses are to NFC teams. So the Commanders would definitely want to win this game to keep in pace to not drop because one of those two teams would end up getting to play the Falcons. So this Commanders-Falcons game could be a precursor to what you would see in the first round of the wild card. So, Commanders, you probably show your cards a little bit, but you also would want to know that this is who you get to see versus falling to that sixth spot and playing the third seed, which would be the Eagles.
Right now, it's the Rams.
But Rams.
It could be, yeah.
Right,
but
the Rams would be four.
That's the thing.
If no, the Rams would be three. The Falcons would be four.
Right. So, like, if you're one of those teams, like if you're Green Bay at six, Washington at seven, you want to avoid that seven seed because you're going to play either Philadelphia or probably Detroit or Minnesota
right.
if you're that 7-2 game. You want to be the 5 or 6 seed because you want to play either L.A. or Atlanta much more because that 2 seed, I mean, like I said, Philadelphia might be the 2 seed and they could win the Super Bowl. And the same thing can be said for Detroit and probably for Minnesota as well. So you want to do everything you can to avoid that 7 seed if you're the Commanders. But it's going to take, I think, a little bit of help. They need Minnesota to beat Green Bay today. They're going to have to win out as well. So it's possible. It's just, again, you want to do everything you can to avoid that 7 seed if you're one of those two teams.
Yeah, the way it breaks down right now, the Lions are 1, Eagles 2, Rams 3, Falcons 4, Vikings 5, Green Bay 6, and the Commanders 7, with the Seahawks sitting on the outside as well as Tampa Bay. But the Seahawks and Tampa are both 2 games in the loss column behind the Commanders. So clearly, as you mentioned, if you don't win the NFC West, if you don't win the NFC South, you're completely out.
You're out.
You're out. So again, yeah, if Green Bay slips in this game, they would be sitting in that 7 seed. And you know, it's crazy. I would rather probably be in that 7 if I'm Green Bay, knowing that I probably feel like I have a better chance against the Eagles, where with the Rams, they're just surging to a point for me. Like the Rams are just kind of a little bit scary right now. That's just me.
Yeah. I mean, but I prefer to avoid the 7, but I get right. your point. Yeah.
Right, like the Commanders against the Eagles, like that's something you don't want to shoot for because you've seen them twice already, right? So if you're the Commanders, you're like, hey, we don't have a problem playing the Eagles in a third matchup this year. That's not, and we're not going far away from home. So this afternoon has some fascinating stories. The Panthers-Bucks game is one of them. Obviously, the Packers and the Vikings is another. And then, of course, the Commanders and the Falcons. Did I mention that game already? Yeah. So, yep. All right. So, look, we're about to wrap it up here. It's KJ and Lyons. We wrap it up next here on WEEI.
We're back to KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
KJ Lyons, back on your Sunday. It feels like we've gone back to, like, our junior high, John, to be able to talk to the people who are the first ones to discover the show and follow us wherever we've gone. Hell, we might be back here in a couple weeks. I don't know. But we just thank you so much for the time that you've spent with us here on your Sunday morning. Remember, NFL football kicks off at 1 o'clock here and coverage all throughout the day. It's just been a fascinating show, John. If people missed any of it, the Audacy app is free, AUDACY. Type in WEEI and then click the icon and you can play chapter by chapter. And then for shows down the line, there's a feedback line that you can leave back a message however you like. And I think really just the biggest thing is what I saw yesterday from the Patriots, just this, it really just hurts the fan base at the core. But at the same time, the fan base has the average fan base, right? The fan base under 40 has never been through something like this.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. If you were born in 1990, in your lifetime, you've seen 10 Super Bowl appearances and 6 championships. Like,
yeah, 1990, so, Chubb Rock jumps upon the scene with a lean and a pocket full of grain.
Even if you were born in 2000, all you know is winning. So, yeah, it's definitely jarring to see it, not just yesterday, right? Because any team can lose one blowout game. It's the two-year span. And you can even go back to putting Patricia in charge of the offense 2 years ago and the decline of Mac Jones and then 7 wins over the past 2 years. It's just so opposite. I mean, 10 years ago at this time, KJ, in December of 2014, the Patriots were on their way to win their 4th Super Bowl, right? 6 years ago at this time, they were on their way to win their 6th. So it's like it's just been such a jarring decline and rapid descent over the last 2.5 or so years.
You know what I think is a great term that is constantly used that probably applies to this situation is Rome wasn't built in a day, right? Just the same way that Rome lived forever and then declined, it also wasn't built up in a day. And so if you look over, like, think about it. When Belichick is hired as the head coach, you just felt like, okay, this is a guy that probably should get a good opportunity. You know, it didn't work well in Cleveland. You know, he had his own guys. They were all relatively new to the NFL game. These guys would become some of the most legendary names in the current culture that we're in. But at that time, that weren't who those guys were. And then the other thing is, man, Belichick has done what Belichick did. The only one that jumps at me is really would probably be Tom Landry. Or Chuck Knoll. Even when you look back, as long as
Bill Cowher is maybe in that conversation.
Well, even when you look at Bill Cowher was only like 12 years. Bill Cowher wasn't the head coach of the Steelers longer than Mike Tomlin has been.
Yeah, Mike Tomlin surpassed him, right?
Right, So Belichick is one of those guys, and this is why I think people still kind of hold on, is because he comes from that old school and was able to get Landry and Chuck Knoll-esque years. But a lot of us weren't alive when the Pittsburgh Steelers were horribly bad in those early years, or when Landry started to suffer in those later years. We just happened to see it later with Belichick. And this is what happens right after it, right? Like, everything that's going on over the last couple of years, John, we were kind of like, ah. But Belichick was here. Now he's not here. Why would we think things would be any different right away?
Yeah, and it's something that, as we go forward, the biggest question for us to ask, not just this week, but in subsequent weeks, what are they going to do to support this operation? Because not only is it a head coach GM thing right now, the entire infrastructure of this team needs to be looked at and tinkered with, improved, added to, because it's not just 40-7 yesterday. It's a full organizational problem.
All right, I'm back tomorrow, 10 a.m., in with Fitzy. It's KJ and Fitzy tomorrow, in for Jonesy Keefe. And then, of course, John is in with Andy Hart for the afternoon show. It's Patriots Monday. Have a great Sunday. Enjoy football. I'm sure what you will watch and hear today will be better than what you saw at Foxborough yesterday.
It definitely will be.
All right, have a great Sunday.